Welcome to God and Country Radio, where one discusses current social, political, economic, prophetic events in life scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, Pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. In this week's program, I want to again discuss the 2020 election. In view of the new documentary called 2,000 Mules, put out by the conservative activist Dinesh D'Souza, along with Catherine Engelbreich with the organization True the Vote. There have been numerous attempts to prove election cheating in the 2020 election. And this latest investigation by Dinesh D'Souza looks like the strongest case. The bottom line is that Engelbreich began working with Greg Phillips, an expert in election intelligence. And by purchasing cell phone location data, they were able to identify hundreds of individuals who went to multiple ballot drop boxes in the middle of the night. This is not something the average voter would do or would even need to do, especially in these states where ballot harvesting is illegal. That is, picking up ballots for others and depositing them. And who would actually do this at 3 a.m. in the morning and then go from ballot box to ballot box throughout the night? Also, all of these ballot drop carriers or individuals were coming from a handful of specific locations where apparently they were picking up these ballots. Now, this evidence is beyond a reasonable doubt that election fraud was occurring. After this documentary came out, leftist media tried to disprove the legitimacy of this evidence, but their criticism was absolutely ridiculous. Their political bias to defend the Democrats was clearly clouding their judgment. Because any reasonable person would at least say, this evidence is compelling. At the very least, it should call for congressional investigations, an FBI investigation, state law enforcement investigations. But before discussing this documentary any further, let's stop and ask the question, what is God teaching the church through all this? Obviously, there are no mistakes in life. God raised up Dinesh D'Souza, Catherine Engelbreich, Greg Phillips to do this investigation. They're all professing Christians. But are these people persecuted heroes of the faith who are standing for the truth and exposing evil, like the prophets of old, or are they well-meaning but deluded Christians who are trying to prove something that never happened, election fraud? PolitiFact quotes a Ken Meyer, a University of Wisconsin political scientist, who says it's conspiracy thinking. They are interpreting the data that confirms their pre-existing conclusions. It's a zombie claim. No matter how many times you kill it, it keeps coming back. Well, couldn't that be said about the left and Ken Meyer's own position? So who's deluded here? Those defending the 2020 election as the most secure election in American history, or those saying there was systemic fraud? The left is claiming election fraud is the big lie. And those on the right are calling claims of no election fraud the biggest cover-up in America's history. Well, do you think political bias plays any part in all this? Or do you think worldview bias plays any part? And really, worldview bias is not all bad. Unless we have an a priori belief that all men are liars and there is nothing reliable in what the wicked say, Psalm 116, 11, and Psalm chapter 5, verse 9, we will easily be deceived. One must begin with a certain worldview concerning good and evil in order to discern anything. Not all biases are wrong. But then again, some worldviews and biases are wrong. And they lead to wrong, naive conclusions. The left is even saying that religious worldviews lead to wrong conclusions about the world and policies. And the right is saying that the secular worldview leads to wrong conclusions about the world and policies. And when one has a wrong worldview, one sees the lie as the truth. So, in asking what God is teaching us through this 2000 Mule documentary, surely we're being reminded that there is a truth war going on in the world, and it's heating up in these last days. It's a knockdown, drag-out battle, and it will culminate in the apocalypse, Christ versus Antichrist, God's people versus Satan's people. But for now, we're all in the valley of decision. Joel chapter 3, verse 14, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now, another lesson we're seeing in this election controversy is that as the days grow dark and the majority begins to side with a secular worldview, there is a suppression of alternative opinions, particularly that which goes against the narrative of leftism and the Democrat Party. YouTube has gone back 1 year and has taken down many of my programs about the 2020 election. I'm at two strikes, and so I can't post anything for 2 weeks. And if they find one more video of mine that they don't like, I will be at three strikes, and they'll take down my entire channel. You know, it's childish, I know. It's kind of like being in elementary school. Fortunately, I also post all my videos at rumble.com. But Rumble doesn't have the viewership of YouTube. Anyway, YouTube's mail to me reads, content that advances false claims, that widespread fraud, errors, or glitches change the outcome of the U.S. 2020 presidential election is not allowed on YouTube. But here's the question. What exactly are false claims? I explained in one of my videos the political reason why legislators didn't want to touch the election fraud debate, because they wanted the courts to address it. And I explained why the courts didn't want to touch the election fraud issue, because they wanted the legislators to address it. And so no one addressed it. And that was my YouTube number 156, entitled When the System Fails Us. So what exactly is false about that report? But YouTube took it down anyway. Because, as I've been saying for the last few weeks, truth is no longer about objective facts. Truth is now about outcomes. If the narrative results in an outcome we like, it's the truth. If the narrative results in an outcome we don't like, it's false. And that's the way truth is now being judged in our postmodern relativism society. And this is the way the lie is being justified. The Old Testament prophets give us timeless commentary on this changing definition of truth when a nation goes into moral decline. Isaiah chapter 59, conceiving in and uttering from the heart lying words. Justice has turned back and righteousness stands far away. For truth has stumbled in the streets and uprightness cannot enter. Yes, truth is lacking. And he who turns aside from evil makes himself the prey. Now the Lord saw, and it was displeasing in his sight, that there was no justice. So, it's kind of obvious to anyone that YouTube is playing pure political partisanship, coming to the aid of the Democrats, because in a neutral world, they would allow questions of election integrity. On what basis can YouTube call questions of election integrity misinformation? When in fact, there is just as much potential misinformation in defending the results of the 2020 election. It's not as if YouTube has cornered the market on truth, as if they have a crystal ball where they can tell what's true and false. They're determining what is true and false based on pure political partisanship. And they're following what the Biden administration is instructing them to do. And in that, the management of YouTube are all Democrats. They're more than happy then to comply to the Biden administration. By the way, Texas passed a law prohibiting social media companies from prohibiting political viewpoints on their site. That is, if the company has more than 50 million monthly users, because then they're acting as social media monopolies. This law finds support in the First Amendment and in the 1964 Civil Rights Act. The courts put a stay on this law, but recently an appeals court reinstated the law. And this case will make it all the way to the Supreme Court, and the whole issue will be another teachable moment. Now, in this truth war in America, please recognize that the battle is not directly over worldview, but over the incidentals, the application of one's worldview. Because, you know, it's easy to discount this whole issue of social media shutting down opinions about vaccines or COVID or about the election and say, well, this is just politics. But the prophet Jeremiah was persecuted for his faith. But that persecution came because of Jeremiah's political views concerning Babylon. So here's a Bible study. Jeremiah chapter 38. Jeremiah was preaching that God's will was for Israel to be conquered by the Babylonians. Jeremiah 38:3. Jeremiah states, "Thus saith the Lord, he who stays in this city will die by the sword and by famine and by pestilence. But he who goes out to the Chaldeans will live and have his own life as a booty and stay alive. Thus saith the Lord, this city will certainly be given into the hands of the army of the king of Babylon, and he will capture it." Well, the Israeli government officials didn't like that message. It contradicted their plans to fight against Babylon. Jeremiah 38:4, then the official said to the king, "Now let this man be put to death. Inasmuch as he is discouraging the men of war who are left in this city and all the people by speaking such words to them, for this man is not seeking the well-being of this people, but rather their harm." So they took the prophet Jeremiah and threw him into a deep well to silence him. So do you see what's going on here? Truth wasn't about objectivity, but outcomes. And if the message said something against the outcomes that the people in power wanted, they silenced it. But a point here is that Jeremiah was not persecuted because he believed in God, or that he believed in the Messiah coming, or that he believed in the Ten Commandments. It was the application of God's word that brought about persecution. I mean, nobody cares if you believe in God, as long as the corrupt people in power are not criticized or exposed. And Jesus was put on the cross mainly because he threatened the power of the Sanhedrin. He was undermining their authority over the people because he was calling them corrupt hypocrites. It was the truth, but for them, it was misinformation. It wouldn't result in the outcome they wanted. And the Sanhedrin, in their justification, claimed that they were helping save the people. If we let Jesus continue, the Romans will invade and take our place. Just like in Jeremiah's case. The government official said, "We have to silence Jeremiah because he's not seeking the well-being of this people, but rather their harm." Which, of course, is their own bias and subjective opinion. The same also in social media, banning any criticism of the vaccines or the election. It's their bias, subjective opinion, that their critics are being harmful, when in fact their critics may be the very ones working to save this nation. So understand that this truth war is fought over the applications of God's word, the application of one's worldview. Just like in all wars, the war is often not fought at the capital, but at the borders. But it's just as much a persecution of the truth of God. Now, some might say, "Oh, Jeremiah, you just shouldn't be so political. Just talk about Jehovah God and leave this whole issue of the Babylonians up to the king." Well, that's not the role of the prophet. God calls his people to apply the word of God to the practical issues of the day, because in these practical issues, this is where men show their allegiance to God or their rebellion to God. So the battle for God's truth is being fought in these issues of transgenderism, abortion, socialism, the pandemic response, honesty in elections. And my point, this documentary, 2000 Mules, can be a godly endeavor. It's doing the work of God. Unearthing election fraud can be an Ephesians 5:11 situation. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. And so we should appreciate the documentary. We should learn from it. You ask, where can I see it? Well, it was in theaters for a few days, but to watch it, you need to go to salemnow.com. Salem, S-A-L-E-M, and now, N-O-W.com. There you'll see a link to the movie. You have to create an account and pay $20 and watch it live stream. If you want, you can order the DVD, but that costs $41 with shipping. I understand people want to watch it for free, but it does cost money to produce this stuff. And besides, the money's going to a good cause. Nobody's getting rich off of this. So the documentary starts off with some Salem media commentators discussing the results of the election. Eric Metaxas, Dennis Prager, Larry Elder, Charles Kirk, and Dinesh D'Souza. And the consensus is that there were definitely shenanigans going on, but there's no definite proof of the kind of election fraud that would overturn the election. Yes, the media favored Biden and deliberately suppressed the story of corruption in Biden's family. Yes, states violated their constitutions by governors changing election laws without the consent of the legislature. And yes, the Democrats used COVID to push mail-in ballots, which were prone to fraud. And yes, voting machines can be tampered with. But can we prove enough cases of election fraud to overturn a 2020 election? Two things to consider here. First, the social considerations, and second, the legal considerations. Socially, the reservation of people on the right to claim election fraud without definite proof is something that criminals will always use against the righteous. That's why we need to drag criminals to court, because they'll always say, you can't prove it, or your proofs are invalid. So good people tend to wait for evidence before they take a stand, but do we see the danger in that? In order to be motivated to look for evidence, one must start with the hypothesis that there was cheating in the election that could overturn the election. And notice, leftist media and Democrats are not simply shutting down false evidence of election fraud. They're shutting down even the question of election fraud. And with that, you'll never get to the truth. The Democrats have decided to call any question of the election the big lie, rather than Biden emphatically calling any doubting of the election the big lie. An honest man would say, well, there may have been cheating in the election, and over the next few months, even years, we may get to the bottom of this so that we can have confidence in our elections. But no, he just simply said, any evidence of fraud is a lie. And much of the public bought into this, and the Republicans, unfortunately, also acquiesced. Because if the Republican Party would have unified and stood up against the claim of election integrity, then the Democrats would have had to back down, and they wouldn't have owned the narrative. And the social media companies would have been seen for what they are, arms of the Democrat Party. So now we have this new evidence coming out in the documentary, 2000 Mules. And Republicans like Mitch McConnell and the U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr all have eggs on their face, because they were saying there was no cheating in the election. Bill Barr stated that the U.S. Justice Department has uncovered no evidence of widespread fraud that could change the outcome of the 2020 election. But did the Justice Department really investigate? What Greg Phillips did in tracking the cell phone pings of people making multiple visits in the night to ballot boxes is really something that the Justice Department should have been doing all along. They knew, and the FBI knew, this was possible. But it looks like the deep state had an a priori belief that everything was just fine. Is this ignorance? Is this naivety? Or is this a deliberate bias to get Trump out of the White House? You decide. But there's no doubt that this was negligence on the part of the FBI and the Justice Department. Biden won Georgia by only 10,000 votes. Biden won Arizona by 14,000 votes. Michigan and Wisconsin were also close. Even a small ballot harvesting scheme or a printing ballot scheme would have changed the outcome of this election. And as the 2000 Mule documentary points out, the January 6th Stop the Steal rally wasn't an insurrection against the government. The media would have you think that because they don't want the true reason for the rally to be circulated. The rally was about the people wanting their elected officials to adjudicate the claims of election fraud. And this would take time. Look how long it's taken for this ballot dumping scheme to be uncovered in this latest investigation talked about in the documentary. At the very least, our legislators should have certified the election with caveats, with a special commission set up to investigate claims of election fraud. But for political reasons, the legislators pushed through the certification as if you're being un-American if you didn't immediately or unequivocally certify the election. I could talk about this for hours, because there are so many ethical, moral issues going on in this election integrity case. Well, let me get back to that second point I left off. First, there are not only social issues in the political right hesitating to stand up for the case of election fraud. There are also legal issues. When it comes to election fraud, because of the secrecy of elections, it's almost impossible to prove election fraud. When people mail in their ballots are separated from the envelopes and the people's names. I mean, how are you going to prosecute people for election fraud when elections are anonymous? Election fraud is the perfect crime for corrupt people. There's always plausible deniability. And the sheer number of ballots that have to be examined is unmanageable. So evidence for election fraud will never be able to reach the standard of beyond a shadow of a doubt. Well, I'm running out of time, and there's a lot more to talk about in all this. I will include that in my video version of this program on rumble.com. The channel is God and Country Biblical Exposition. But let me close on this point. What about the truth of Christ? Was Jesus God incarnate, or was he a fraud? Was Christ the truth or the big lie? What's the evidence and how do you decide? Well, the same logic and moral sense that is involved in choosing current day political policy issues is the same logic and moral sense that leads one to decide for or against Christ. So learning these values in decision making is no small thing. The destiny of our very souls depend upon it. Joel chapter 3, verse 14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. You have been listening to God and Country Radio. The radio website to listen to this program again or to share it is godandcountryradio.org. There you'll also find the links to all of the videos. Thank you for listening. Thank you for your support. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we're again faced with the need for divinely inspired wisdom and direction. Fill us, Lord, with your spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.